And so the idea is that you read the scripture, and I'm going to ask you if you have a comment or a thought you want to share. You don't have to, but if you have something that the Lord gives you that you think goes with that scripture, share it. All right? That's someone supposed to read that. You can do it if you want. Well, happy Father's Day again to all our dads. We have some really great dads here at New Beginnings. And what a blessing to have a godly father. And this day has been set aside to honor our fathers. I know it's a secular day, but nonetheless, the word says, honor your father and mother, and we're supposed to do that. So it's a good thing to honor our fathers. And the first Father's Day, I thought a bit of history is helpful, came in 1909 in the state of Washington. There was a woman that was raised by her father. There was six children in the family, and when the mother had the sixth child, she died in childbirth. And so this father raised all six children. This woman's name was Sonora, and these five brothers she had. And she thought, we should really honor our dads. And so she went out and kind of drummed up support for this idea, and the Washington state was the first state to do that. And then in 1972, the first president to acknowledge it as a national holiday was Richard Nixon, of all people. But nonetheless, it's still Father's Day, and we're happy for our fathers. Fatherhood is one of those responsibilities, of course, that God gave to men. And after he created Adam, he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. That comes out of Genesis 1:28. So one of the primary purposes for being married is to have children. And fathers were supposed to raise and teach their children to worship, follow, and serve their Heavenly Father, bringing our Heavenly Father praise and honor and glory that he deserves. So it's one thing to father a child, it's another thing to be a father, completely different. And we see that in our society today. There's a lot of deadbeat dads who father children but are not true fathers. So we're going to look at quickly seven characteristics of a godly father. Number one is that a godly father, knows God, has a relationship with God, and models that for his children. You know, children are great imitators, and they'll imitate whatever they see. You can see it. I saw it in my kids. I'm like, when they were little, you know. And but they'll imitate both good and bad. So if a father is a godly example, children see that and they'll imitate that and follow that. I found this statistic, and that was interesting. In a family that does not know the Lord, if a child in that family receives Christ as Savior, 5% of the rest of the family will follow. 5% of families that a child comes to know the Lord, 5% of those families, the rest of the family will follow, end up following Christ. When the mother receives the Lord as Savior, 20% of the rest of the family will follow Christ and become Christians. But when a father receives Jesus as Savior, 93% goes on to follow the Lord. That's amazing statistic, isn't it? So, number two, a godly father loves and honors his wife. The best gift a father can give their kids is to love their mother and show her honor. And whether a man is divorced or single, they can still model respectful behavior to the child's mother and other women, and children imitate that. Number three, God the Father accepts responsibility for the children's spiritual training. Too often dads pawn it off on moms, but it's really, they're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the family. And not just providing financially, that's part of it. That comes out of 1 Timothy. But to encourage the children to follow their lead and drawing near to the Lord, setting expectations for his family. Number four, godly father models selfless service. Fathers are to serve their families as Christ loved and served the church and gave himself for it. Number five, godly fathers discipline their children appropriately. Discipline's part of bringing up kids, isn't it? I know I was a perfect kid, but not everybody was. And we need discipline. And just as the Heavenly Father disciplines us, godly fathers need to discipline their children in appropriate ways. And it really does show the kids that they love them. Kids know that. Kids that are not disciplined are not loved. Sounds funny, but it's the truth. Number six, godly fathers do not allow themselves to be controlled by ungodly influences. Addictions like alcohol, gambling, pornography. We just drove home last night. We come down from Williamsport and along the river 11 and 15, there's all those adult shops, and it's amazing how many cars and trucks and stuff are around those places. It's like, oh, just pray over those places. I go buy them, you know. But all of them are influencing their families in negative ways.
Can you read that statement again?
What's that?
Can you read
number six? Yeah. Godly fathers don't allow themselves to be controlled by ungodly influences, whatever that may be. And lastly, it's not a conclusive list, but godly father is a man under authority. Jesus demonstrated this. He was a man under authority of his heavenly Father. He gave credit to the Father. And although godly fathers have authority over their families, there's to exercise that authority in ways that will serve and love their family and bless their families. With authority comes a lot of responsibilities, of course. And all good and godly fathers, of course, take their cues from our Heavenly Father. And although many of us have been blessed with godly fathers, not everybody is, of course. Many earthly fathers fall short. We all do fall short on occasions. I found some of my best teaching moments with my own boys were times where I missed it, and I went to them and asked for forgiveness. I think that probably spoke more about forgiveness and grace than if I would have taught them. but we're not perfect, but the Father is. And scriptures emphasize his love, his passion, his care for his children, which are us. Thank goodness we have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. I know. And he is such a wonderful Father. He guides us, he disciplines us, forgives us, he rejoices over us with singing, and a model of love, compassion, and faithfulness. And so we're going to read these seven scriptures. And so I'll ask for the scripture. I'll read the scripture reference and then read the scripture. And if you have a thought, share it with us. So let's go with Romans 8:15.
Okay. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons, for whom we cry, Abba, Father.
Any thoughts on that one?
Okay, I feel like it's like basically saying that like we didn't receive a father just to be there. He's there to like rely on, to call out to him when we need help, basically showing that we're never alone and we always have someone that's right by our side, even in times of doubt and stuff like that.
We are, all of us.
We're adopted because we're wanted.
And we get to call the Father, the creator of the universe, Daddy, Abba, Abba. How about 1 John 3:1?
All right. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. All right, ready for my... To be called a child of God. Amen. I am so grateful. I said it's to be pure without sin, righteous, to receive everlasting life, to have the authority to cast out all things not of God away by the power in Jesus' name. That he has so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. And he's full of grace and love.
Amen. Right. Thank you. Matthew 6:33.
Before I read that verse, just two verses ahead of that, it's Jesus' teaching here, and he says, therefore, do not be anxious. Then verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, yeah, basically, we worry and fret about so many things of insignificant, and we don't have to.
Exactly. Because we got a Father who's got our backs. Psalms 103:13.
Psalm 103:13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Pretty self-explanatory. Thank you, Lord. And 1 Corinthians 6:18.
I will be father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's pretty awesome when you think about it, both from the father standpoint and also being a son.
Yeah. And Psalms 103:12.
Hold the button till it turns green. No,
got
that's
it.
Not what it says.
You got the green light.
Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, which I thought sounded familiar. Here's what 11 says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. When I read this, I thought, how great that he is. Like, east is from west. There is no end to it. It just keeps going. My transgressions are thrown that far away, and they're still going away. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, that altitude can't be defined. That's how high and how holy and how God, capital G, he is. So great is his love.
And Zephaniah 3:17.
The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. My wife and I got to spend about an hour on the telephone with our granddaughter Kate from Sri Lanka this week. And she was sharing how they would sit on the floor in Hindu homes and share the gospel, and people were receiving. I say that because God is a mighty one who will save. Mm-hmm. And we, I wore a t-shirt this week that said, while I'm waiting, God is working. We have a God that's working even around the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And for our last passage, I couldn't pass it up on Father's Day because it's one of my favorite passages. It's a parable that Jesus tells out of Luke 15:11-32. Luann's going to read that.
And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine also occurred in the country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of the country, and he said, sent to him into the fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swines were eating, and no one was giving him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father. And while he was still on his long journey, a long way off, the father saw him and felt full of compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost, and he is now found. And they began to be merry. Now, the older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house and heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And they said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might even be merry with my friends. And when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live again. He was lost, and he is now found.
So this image of God running, it just gets me every time. Can't help it. Because I was that son. He ran to me. So we're going to end with a song by Benny Hester, which is old, but it is the longest running, best, most popular contemporary Christian song ever in Christian history. So there's a reason it is, because there's a lot of sons that came back home and the father ran to them. So yeah, just listen to the song.
Powerful, awesome Lord, victory. everlasting King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God then things could ever be the same. But one night I remembered his love for me, and down that dusty road